6 days before the Passover, Jesus therefore came to Bethany, where Lazarus was, whom Jesus had raised from the dead. So they gave a dinner for him there. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those reclining at the table. Mary, therefore, took a pound of expensive ointments made from pure nard, and anointed the feet of Jesus, and wiped his feet with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, "Why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief, and having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone, so that she may keep it for the day of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me."
Hello everyone, lovely to see you, especially warm welcome if this is your first time with us. How should we respond to Jesus' life-giving death? That is our question today, and you will receive the outline of the talk on the back of the notice sheets. If you've been here the last few weeks, you know that we have been going through the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. We've examined the eyewitness evidence that shows that this event really happened. And we learned that Jesus is the Son of God through his ability to raise a dead man to life. And we've witnessed Jesus' love for his friends as he wept for Lazarus. These are amazing truths about Jesus. But so what? These events took place 2,000 miles away, 2,000 years ago. How should we, in 21st century London, respond to Jesus? And I think there are several possible options. Option one, we don't respond to him at all. That's what most people do in our society. They learn a bit about Jesus at school in RE lessons, and then they forget about him. They may or may not tick the Christian box in the census, but in practice, they just get on with their lives without thinking about him. And then there's option two. We believe in Jesus as the Son of God. We go to church on Sundays, but Jesus isn't really the love of our lives. We love our families, our careers, and our holidays as much as we love Jesus. We prefer to keep a low profile at work, and we don't really talk about our faith with our colleagues. And then there's option three. We love Jesus more than everything else. At our best moments, we are prepared to give up everything for him. We are unashamed to tell our colleagues about Jesus. But our hearts still grow cold from time to time. We need to be constantly reminded of who Jesus is and what he's done for us. I wonder which of these options best fits you. Whichever option it is, let's hear what John, the Gospel writer, has to say about how we should respond to Jesus. He will teach us what the right response is. So let's learn from him together as we go through this passage. Our first point, Jesus' restoration of life deserves lavish devotion. If we look at verse 1, it reminds us that Jesus has just raised Lazarus to life. And so Lazarus' family put on a thank you dinner for him. I love how understated verse 2 sounds. So they gave a dinner for him. This would have been a massive feast. Oh Lord, Jesus has just brought the beloved brother of Martha and Mary back to life. Remember how Martha begged Jesus to resurrect Lazarus? And how Mary wept for him so much that it moved Jesus deeply. The sisters were so sad when their brother Lazarus died. But imagine how they must have felt when Lazarus walked out of the tomb alive. It must have been absolutely over the moon. And so they pull out all the stops to prepare a magnificent banquet to say thank you to Jesus. And notice how each member of the family has a different role in verses 3 and 4. Martha is serving. She's good at this. She's the cook in the family. You can imagine her poring over her Mary Berry cookbook. What's the most extravagant meal that I can prepare for Jesus? Let me see. What about slow roast lamb stuffed with rosemary and garlic? And she brings out the best crockery reserved for special occasions. She lays out freshly laundered tablecloths. There are beautiful candles on the table. Everything is perfect. Martha is exhausted with serving, but she's thrilled. She gets this opportunity to say thank you to Jesus for raising her brother back to life. What about Lazarus, the man who was raised? Well, he's reclining with Jesus at the table. He's keeping Jesus and his disciples entertained. Sharing stories and enjoying the food that Martha has prepared. Maybe they're laughing about the fact that Lazarus looked like a mummy when he came out of the tomb with linen, bound to his hands and feet. Well, regardless of what they had talked about, we can be sure that Lazarus was deeply thankful for Jesus bringing him back to life. And you can just picture the atmosphere in the house. It must have been festive, like Christmas, full of joy, full of laughter and life. Maybe a bit like Scrooge celebrating Christmas with his nephew and his family at the end of Dickens's Christmas Carol. There's loads of food and loads of merriment. Everyone is happy. This is a joyful celebration of a dead man who has come back to life. And I love how in French there's a word to capture the sentiments. Make sure I say it right. La joie de vivre. The joy of living. Lazarus can truly say that he's enjoying life at this moment, thanks to Jesus' miracle. But we've forgotten someone, haven't we? Last but not least, there is Mary. How does she respond? Her response is actually the most dwelt upon by John in this account. John spends the next 6 verses reflecting on Mary's response to Jesus. Mary takes a pound of expensive ointment made from pure nard and anoints the feet of Jesus and wipes his feet with her hair. The house is filled with the fragrance of the perfume. Now I've got some aftershave here. It probably cost about £20, so not that expensive. But Mary's ointment, do you know how much it would cost in today's terms? Well, we can work it out because Judas says that it could be sold for 300 denarii. And 1 denarius was a day's wage for labour. So let's say that's, 100 pounds. So if you add maybe times 300 to 100, that's 30,000 pounds. That's 1,000 times the cost, the price of this aftershave. Which is something more like, I was trying to look for the most expensive perfume that I could find online, and it was Clive Christian's No. 1 Imperial Majesty, which, can you guess how much it cost? £10,000 per ounce. The point is that the ointment that Mary used was really, really expensive. It was the best stuff that you could find. And this is Mary's way of showing a profound gratitude and appreciation for what Jesus has done by saving her brother. She was prepared to give up something that was exceptionally precious to her and to lay it at the feet of Jesus. And Mary actually doesn't stop there. She wipes Jesus' feet with her hair as well. Now, if you were here last week, you may remember that Mary fell at Jesus' feet when she first saw him coming to Bethany. She said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And now that Jesus has done the miracle of raising Lazarus back to life, she falls at Jesus' feet again. This time, not to weep at his feet, but instead to wipe his feet with her hair in grateful devotion. Her tears of grief have been replaced by the streams of gladness flowing from the nod. And the house was filled with the fragrance of this perfume.
And I brought in a candle so that I can then light it and that there can be a bit of live. Yep. So hopefully you can
just sense what it would be like for the perfume to emanate throughout the room and to make the room smell really nice. Okay, so this is in contrast, the lovely smell is in contrast with the odor that is mentioned again in chapter 11, verse 39. Martha expected Lazarus' dead body to smell really bad. He'd been dead for several days, and the corpse was rotting, so then the smell would have been terrible. But instead, Lazarus was raised to life, and so the odor is replaced by the fragrance of life. Everyone at the feast would have enjoyed the lovely smell coming from the perfume, except for one person, that is Judas. But let's just pause here for a moment before we look at Judas's response. Mary has just spent £30,000 on Jesus' feet. This is an extravagant sum. You know, it's a lavish response to Jesus' raising of Lazarus. And it suggests that Mary actually understood who Jesus was. She'd heard Jesus' prayer to God outside the tomb, and she'd witnessed alongside others Jesus calling out her brother, and her brother walking and coming out of the tomb. And so she believes that Jesus is the resurrection and the life. And so Mary is not just thanking Jesus for the miracle, but she wants to honor Jesus for being the Son of God. She's anointing his feet to acknowledge that Jesus is the Messiah, God's chosen King. And so for those of us who believe in Jesus as the Son of God, I think Mary's devotion challenges us, doesn't it? Are we prepared to spend £30,000 to anoint Jesus' feet? Are we prepared to surrender our whole lives to Jesus? Our wealth, our resources, our skills, everything that God has given us. Jesus has given us eternal life, and we will never be separated from him. And he promises to give us resurrection bodies when he returns. We will live forever with God and with each other. We can be so grateful to Jesus for these gifts of resurrection and life. And so let's learn from Mary's example and respond to Jesus in lavish devotion. But not everyone is happy with Mary's act of devotion to Jesus. As I said earlier, one of Jesus' disciples, Judas, objects strongly. Verse 4, but Judas Iscariot, one of Jesus' disciples, he who was about to betray him, said, why was this ointment not sold for 300 denarii and given to the poor? He said this not because he cared about them, but because he was a thief. And having charge of the money bag, he used to help himself to what was put into it. Judas essentially thinks that Mary's act of devotion was a waste of money. Surely the money could have been better spent. It could have been given to the poor instead. And this actually sounds quite reasonable. You know, £30,000 is a lot of money. It could have met the needs of a lot of poor people. Back then, there was no welfare state, no job seekers allowance, no universal credit, no NHS to provide free healthcare. If you were poor, you were in a really bad place. And so £30,000 could have done a lot of good. But John wants us to know that Judas didn't actually care about the poor. He was only complaining about Mary because he was a thief. He was stealing from Jesus and the disciples. And so he must have felt guilty when Mary had spent so much money on Jesus, when he was doing the opposite, he was stealing money from him. And so he's using his complaint to cover up his own guilt. His heart attitude to Jesus has been exposed by Mary's lavish act of devotion. Because at the end of the day, Judas loved money more than he loved Jesus. And we'll see that in the next chapter when Judas goes on to betray Jesus just for a sum of money. In contrast, Mary loved Jesus more than money. And so Jesus explains why Mary's act is so appropriate. He says in verse 7, "Leave Mary alone, so that she may keep it for the sake of my burial. For the poor you always have with you, but you do not always have me." Jesus is saying here that he is going to die soon. That's what he's referring to when he says, "for the sake of my burial." It's also what he means when he says, "you will always have the poor with you, but you will not always have me." Because in 6 days' time, he is going to be nailed to a cross and die an excruciating death. To understand the significance of Jesus' death, we need a little bit of context. So let's go back to chapter 11, verse 45. Jesus' raising of Lazarus has led to many people believing in him as the Son of God. And in response to this, the chief priests and the Pharisees, the religious leaders of the day, were jealous of Jesus. They guarded their privileged status and position with great zeal. And they, you know, say to themselves, if we let Jesus go on like this, everyone will believe in him. And the Romans will come and they'll take away our place and our nation. And so what do they decide to do? They decide to put Jesus to death. Verse 53, from that day on, they made plans to put Jesus to death. But amazingly, God will use Jesus' death on the cross to accomplish the greatest act of salvation possible. Jesus will be the Passover lamb who dies on behalf of the people. And in fact, the high priest himself prophesies this. He says that Jesus will die for the nation and gather into one the children of God who are scattered abroad. Jesus' death will take away the sins of the whole world and will gather into one the children of God from all over the world. And let's just dwell on this for a moment, because this is so significant. Jesus' death is the most significant event in human history. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, will lay down his life for his sheep. His death will bring life, not only to Lazarus, to Mary, and to Martha, but to everyone in the world who will believe in him. His crucifixion is the means by which people will be born again and enter into God's family. He must die to give life to the dead. And all of us, for those of us who do believe in Jesus, it is his death that has made it possible for us to become children of God. And so that is why Jesus' death deserves the most extravagant response that human beings can come up with. And with all this in mind, Jesus commends Mary's act of devotion. Whether she knows it or not, this act of anointing Jesus' feet is exactly the right thing to do in light of Jesus' imminent death. Mary is preparing Jesus' body for his burial. And this is confirmed when Jesus actually dies and his body is buried. In chapter 19, it talks about two disciples of Jesus, Joseph and Nicodemus. They come and take Jesus' dead body from the Roman governor, and they bring a mixture of expensive spices to wrap Jesus' body and to prepare it for burial. And so Mary's act of anointing Jesus with nard is exactly in line with what Jesus is going to death, is with what is going to happen to him. He's going to die and be buried. And so, Mary was absolutely right to prepare Jesus' body for his death and burial. She was right to fork out £30,000 on ointment, because Jesus' death is so, so precious. I've been really challenged by Jesus' words in the last few days. Do I realize just how precious his death is? Or have I heard it so many times that I just take it for granted? The only reason that our sins can be forgiven is because he died as our Passover lamb. And I'm convinced that the more we grasp Jesus' love for us, the more we will respond like Mary. The more we will want to pour out our whole lives in loving devotion to him. I mean, after all, if you think about it, £30,000 is a lot, but it's nothing compared to the great sacrifice that Jesus has made on our behalf. We will gladly spend our lives serving Jesus with all that he has given us, our time, our resources, and our gifts. All of that we will use to make Jesus known. Friends, if you do not yet believe in Jesus, know that the Lord Jesus loves you so much. He has given up his life for you on the cross. And if we believe in him today, we will have eternal life. You'll become a child of God right now, and you'll be raised to life and given a resurrection body on the day of judgment. So the right response is to pour out our lives in loving devotion to him. I'll leave the last word to Isaac Watts, a famous hymn writer. He wrote a song called When I Survey the Wondrous Cross that reflects on Jesus' crucifixion. And he ends with these moving words. Let's pray that these words will be true of us. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you so much for Jesus' love for us. I thank you that he was willing to die on the cross to give us life. And we pray that you would help us to grasp just how meaningful this is, and that we would respond like Mary in lavish devotion to him. Help us to pour out everything that is most precious to us. Our time, our resources, our skills, even our careers, and to use them to serve him. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen.